The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Canada's next government will be a Liberal government. It is not yet clear at this hour whether it will be a minority or majority because of some of those close races we were talking about. This marks a fourth Liberal mandate, very rare in Canadian politics. But the Liberal Party, led by Mark Carney, has pulled it off, a stunning reversal, a Liberal comeback with a first-time politician as leader.
Bonsoir, tout le monde.
Good evening, bonsoir, everyone.
Oh. Quel bonsoir. C'est une bonne bonsoir.
What an evening.
I have a question. Who's ready? Who's ready? Who's ready to stand up for Canada with me? And who's ready? Who's ready to build Canada strong? Okay, we got that settled. That's good. As I've been warning for months, America wants our land, our resources, our water, our country. Never. But these are not idle threats. President Trump is trying to break us so that America can own us. That will never ever happen. But we also must recognize the reality that our world has fundamentally changed. There is also, for me, as I stand before you this evening, humility in recognizing that, well, many have chosen to place your trust in me, trust in the Liberal Party. Millions of our fellow citizens preferred a different outcome. And my message to every Canadian is this: no matter where you live, no matter what language you speak, no matter how you voted, I will always do my best to represent everyone who calls Canada home.
And that was Canadian Prime Minister and Liberal leader Mark Carney speaking earlier this morning following his projected election victory. But as you've heard, it's not yet known whether he'll be leading a minority or a majority government. But it does mark a stunning comeback for the Liberals, who were behind in the polls when Justin Trudeau resigned as Liberal leader. We're going to Canada now to speak with Stevie O'Brien, former government advisor and public policy specialist. Stevie, good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a long night for you, I'm sure.
It is a long night and it's a very early morning here.
Now, tell me about the nature of this victory. Is it clear yet whether Mark Carney will need more help from one of the smaller parties to govern, or might he squeeze a majority?
A majority is still possible. Elections Canada has paused counting of special ballots until later this morning. Although, as it stands now, the Liberals are about four seats short of the majority, but with the two other smaller parties, or even alone with the other progressive left party, they would have the majority of the House.
All right. The projection that I have in front of me suggests 167 seats for the Liberals, the Conservatives 145, then the BQ 23, NDP 2, and the Greens 1. That's the projection. He needs what, 172 for an overall majority?
172 for majority. I think we've squeezed up to 168 now.
168. Okay, so it's still all to play for. This is a remarkable turnaround, though, for the Liberal Party.
It's incredible. In early January, I think the Liberals were sitting around 16% of the voter intent and won the popular vote tonight, which the Liberal Party doesn't normally do, given the efficiency of their vote. And so it's been an incredible comeback and a very unusual fourth term.
It's, I suppose, Donald Trump that Mark Carney should be calling up to thank for his victory, because it's the Trump policies on Canada that have invigorated the entire campaign.
I think some senior politicians have suggested we may need to give him the Order of Canada for uniting Canadians more than and Canada and Quebec more than anybody has done in recent history. It was definitely a campaign which focused on two main issues. Who do you want leading Canada against this sort of existential threat of Donald Trump, the threats of annexation and the tariffs? and that would have been Mark Carney, or who did you think could best address cost of living issues, which are also was the second sort of ballot question, and that would have been Pierre Poilievre, the Conservative leader. And I think what we saw tonight or last night is that Canadians fear Trump more than they fear the Liberals.
Now, how close initially, before Trump came to office, how close would Poilievre have been to a Trumper?
So, well, we called him sort of Maple MAGA. He was coming in with a 26-point lead for almost the last 2 years. It was they were measuring the drapes for the office on Parliament Hill, and so this was a stunning upset on their side.
What will happen to him? Will he? I mean, he might even lose his seat.
He did lose his seat, which is another sort of interesting twist. He is one of two of the opposition leaders who has lost their seat. And while the leader of the NDP has conceded, he's the smaller one. He saw his party sort of completely collapse in the face of the Trump threats. Poilievre seems to suggest that he will be going on. It will be up. They did have a historically high vote turnout and vote percentage for the Conservatives as well. So both the Liberals and the Conservatives have done better than they do in most elections, but the collapse of the smaller parties almost made this a two-horse race, which doesn't happen in Canada.
Mm. I mean, looking at the numbers, 43.4% for the Liberals, 41.6% for the Conservatives. Does that suggest that there is a MAGA rump in Canada, or did Poilievre mitigate his message to be less Trump-like in the closing stages of the campaign?
He tried in the end of the campaign. It was a very short 37-day campaign. By the end, I think that the Conservative Party realized he was his likability was hurting them, and he was removed from their ads in the final week or so, and they just had sort of more generic ads. I think there is a MAGA movement in the country here. We saw them after COVID occupy downtown Ottawa. It's the same sort of voter set. And so there will be divisions that are going to be something that Mark Carney is going to have to try and overcome and unify in the country. And we also saw, I think, the poll results, a real urban-rural divide, which will be another challenge for the Prime Minister.
Now, when we hear the name Mark Carney, we still reflexively think, oh, wasn't he the governor of the Bank of England? That's what we think on this side of the pond. And then, lo and behold, he emerges as the wannabe leader of the Liberals, goes head-to-head with other contenders and becomes that leader, and now, and then Prime Minister, and then retains it in an election. It is quite an extraordinary story for a neophyte politician.
Oh, absolutely. Although I would say that Mark Carney's been on the periphery of Liberal politics for a while, but yes, he's never run for office before. He's been catapulted into the top seat. Canadians want him there. I think what the election results showed is that we think we need a international financial expert, world class economist, and somebody who's been both Bank of England and Bank of Canada governors of both, and that's where we're putting our trust in, where we're facing this really existential threat of the tariffs and the Trump threat.
His initial interactions with Donald Trump, he showed himself to be tough.
Yes, and I think that also really helped. I think one of the reasons that perhaps the majority slipped out in the end of the campaign was that Trump went quiet. The first half of the campaign was still very much dominated by all the on again, off again, what's going on tariff story and talk of 51st state, which really riled up the Canadians and Liberal voters. But I'm not sure if his advisors told him to sort of keep quiet, because he was uncharacteristically quiet on those subjects until the very, very end of the campaign, where he inserted himself into the election and seemed to suggest that Canada should vote for him.
Now, the extraordinary ambition of Trump to make Canada the 51st state, some people say he's only joshing anyway. He's only satirizing the whole thing. But there are many Canadians who would look down to California and say California more properly belongs with Canada in terms of its attitude to life and politics.
We would love to
welcome.
We would love to welcome California. I think we would all have a much more comfortable winter destination spot. But the threat, I don't think most Canadians think it's a joke anymore. It's been too real. We think the majority think he wants our country. He wants our critical minerals. He wants our water, and he wants our other natural resources. Because he may not be able to get those things from China anymore. And we're looking at this sort of manifest destiny objective with real concern.
Now, the question of how Canadians are responding, initially, American stuff was been taken off the shelves. Canadians were refusing to travel south in some numbers for vacations and so on. Is that antipathy to the United States still continuing?
It is. You still cannot buy American alcohol in Canada or most Canadian provinces. Travel has plummeted. And in fact, many companies are advising their staff to not travel to the United States because of the conditions at the border are too uncertain and too many Canadians have been arbitrarily detained. And the made in Canada products are, you know, much more prominently on display in all the grocery stores. Although I think Canadians would happily buy Irish products as well, looking to solidify friendships and look for other trading avenues as we no longer have that our traditional relationship with the United States.
Yeah, with all that talk about Canada ripping off the United States and that we supported Canada, without us they'd, you know, die. That kind of talk. I mean, trade is two-way. You sell stuff to them, they sell stuff to you. And maybe if there is a trade imbalance, that's just reflective of what each country needs from the other.
It is. And I think one thing, if you took the heavily subsidized, that we subsidized to them, oil and gas that flows south, if you took that out of the equation, there would not be a trade surplus. So this is really, again, going back to the point, we think they want our natural resources. This is really, as with most things in the United States, it's really about oil.
It's really about oil. Anyway, Mark Carney will have to establish, I suppose, a new relationship with the government. Now that he is confirmed as the incoming prime minister, he'd have to establish a new kind of relationship with Washington.
Yes, although he has said that he will not sit down with President Trump until President Trump shows respect for our sovereignty. There was an early conversation in the campaign where that seemed to be on that track, but we've gone back to the 51st state type comments, in the last couple of days. So I don't know what metric he'll use to determine whether or not, you know, we are getting enough respect to engage in those conversations. And he's going to have a very busy spring, early summer. He's going to need to swear in a new cabinet, get going on a mini budget. And then Canada hosts the G7 in, you know, a matter of weeks.
I don't know. Are you allowed to bring felons into Canada?
I don't think so. There may be, but there may have to be a special permission granted to President Trump
to allow him into Canada in the first place. Wouldn't that be wonderful, stopping him at the border and saying, sorry, Donald, you're a felon, you can't come in?
It would be cathartic. I don't know if it would be great for trade.
All right. On that note, thank you very much for joining us. Stevie O'Brien, former government advisor and public policy specialist. Now, Amazon is looking to compete with SpaceX after it yesterday launched internet satellites into orbit. 27 satellites blasted off from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station in Florida in an effort to compete in the market, which SpaceX already has, I think, 4.6 million customers around the world. This report from Bloomberg as the launch was actually taking place.
Amazon and United Launch Alliance again launching, are preparing to launch that first batch of full-scale satellites of Amazon's Project Kuiper broadband internet network. The launch is now currently happening from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station in Florida. This is really a part of an effort to catch up with SpaceX's Starlink satellite broadband network. They already have more than 7,000 satellites in orbit and 5 million million subscribers. The first attempt for Amazon was scrubbed earlier in the month. We had some weather concerns, but the Project Kuiper Broadband Internet Network is now currently being launched by Amazon and United Launch Alliance from Space Launch Complex 41 at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station in Florida.
So a competitor for Starlink, and maybe that's what's needed over Ukraine, for instance. Anyway, that report from Bloomberg.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.